Last week we were in Romans 8, the latter of verses. Begins with what and who can separate us from the love of God. Says life can't, death won't. Neither angels nor principalities or powers can separate us. And we shared as we got to that point in the message that we would be coming back to visit spiritual warfare, because those three powers that are talked about are demonic forces of Satan. And we will touch briefly on that today, and after Romans we'll probably likely come back to see that how we as a church can go against the strongholds of Satan and win the victory because of the power of Christ, and how that we can take a stand. But today I want us just to think of the battle that we as believers are in and the call to be all that we can be in Christ. Before we do, though, I was watching, I'm sure all of us saw, back when North Korea was creating a stir, they flew the stealth bomber, one of the stealth bombers, over to North Korea, actually South Korea, and brought it back again. And I'm fascinated with that stealth technology. Radar can't pick it up. You can be in and out before they know what hit them. One of the newscasts during that time had a visitor in, and I'm not sure that I can claim which one it was, because I am somewhat of an addict of news, but to hopefully keep it in perspective to all other things. So I always start Fox News, World Magazine, CNN, and ABC, and 60 Minutes. So if you want to know my fallings, that's where it falls to. But one of them said that they are starting now to work on a technology that would make planes and our implements of war invisible. So not only the radar wouldn't pick it up, but you couldn't see it. You just simply know the bombs or the shells were falling, but you wouldn't know where that is or where it was coming from. And they're talking about cloaking devices, and the only time I'd heard of cloaking devices was with Star Trek and the Klingons, and how we had to get that so we could beat them and that. But to think, wow, that could be. So who knows? I didn't think stealth bomb, protection would be there, so who knows? Took me back to the days when I watched the very first Invisible Man. Yeah, kids don't even know there was a first. They only know about the second and the third, and that from first service. The power that he had went to his head afterwards, but at first it was really cool and lots of funny things going on until he actually realized that that invisibility created a power and a source of power to him and that. And wondered, and this exercise we had first service, I think we'll do this too because we ended on time first service. If they were able to develop a way to make you invisible, what would be the first thing you'd do? If you could be, pardon?
Go home and pray.
Go home and pray. Okay, that's probably a good thing.
I have enough.
The problem is, would I know how to put my hands together if I did? I guess we, you know, and that. Anybody else, what would you do? How many would follow your mate around for a day just to make sure? How many of you would go to the home of your boss and see what it was like there so that you could have that power to do? And with the kids in first service, I thought we better talk about what would you do if you could come to church on a Sunday morning and pick on me to where you could make me look like a real fool? I mean, if you're invisible, you could trip me going up the steps. And, you know, I'm so sorry. And isn't it interesting when we trip over something, we always look to see if something's there or if it was an invisible thing that tripped us? It's like, what was that? You know, I don't know. I don't fall on my own. Unless I wandered from side to side, you could come mix up my notes so I could come back and go, where are we? And all the things that you could do to make me look foolish. And the deacons would probably not say there's an invisible person here that we need to be watching. They would probably say, we think Pastor may take this marijuana law too literally. There is something wrong with him. Because we can see visibly what's happening to me, we just can't see the invisible things underneath it. And that. And Paul would talk to us in Ephesians and remind us that we are in a war. And our enemy is invisible to the eye, but very real, very knowledgeable. In fact, he is in control of the world system. When we and Adam fell in sin and God's judgment was passed on the earth, we who were supposed to be the caretakers, the guardians of this world, lost that power. And Satan, because there was a vacuum, picked it up and he became the god of this world, little g, the powerful mind behind this world and this world system. John in 1 John 5, verse 19, would say, "We know that we are children of God and that the whole world system is under the control of the evil one." Do we really know that? That in fact, Satan is the one in the background, dictating, making the challenges, trying to make this world that was supposed to be a shining, beautiful, brilliant celebration of God's glory and God's light into a place of darkness, of pain, of sin. We need realize that so that we can make ourselves aware that there is a war going on and we must fight in that war. He does not say, stand up and get ready to fight. He says, you're already in a war whether you're fighting or not. Wouldn't it be terrible if we sent our military men and women to a place where they were in severe danger, but we didn't tell them that? So that they thought they were going on a vacation until the bullets started to fly. We need to realize that we are in the war whether we're fighting or not. And there are casualties around if we're not holding forth the truth of God's word. We need to be aware that Satan is around. We need to be aware of the demonic world. We need to be aware that it has infected our world system and it is in our face daily. Remembering also our focus is to be on the resurrected, ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ and on his resurrection power in our lives. That we stand in the knowledge of his word, in the power of his Holy Spirit, and live out that truth in victory against Satan. But if we're not aware we're in a battle, then we're about many other things. Ephesians 6, if you'd turn with me there, we'll look briefly this morning to that section. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's scheming against you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Let me read that again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Demonic angels that followed Satan in their attack against God's presence and God's holiness and fell. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. And then it goes on and says again, stand. And gives us the weaponry, the protection that is ours to stand against Satan. The first point I want, though, for us to look at, and we've emphasized it now by reading it twice, is that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is not with each other. That's the outward, visible expression. But we battle with Satan who is behind the misleading, the misguiding, the misdirecting. When I believe I was in high school, it could have been college, it was brought to national attention that Larry Flint, who had originated the Hustler magazine, a pornographic magazine, had been shot. It was interesting, at least in the churches I was associated, how they celebrated that day. They wished they'd killed him, but they only paralyzed him. Shortly after, Larry proclaimed he was a born-again believer, and the church had said, see, the love of God can go to even the worst. But shortly after that, he recanted and made just a mockery over what he had done. It was very easy to get angry with him and to forget that he was misguided by the workings of evil that led him to that place. And I am firmly convinced it's not my place to judge Larry Flynn. That is God's place. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, against humanity. We are simply to love and to share the gospel with all people. We must learn to love the sinner without accepting the sin. And that can be very difficult because Satan would like for us to get into a squabble and a fight in regards to people, rather than to spend our time fighting the evil one through right and correct living. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul does not call the believer into spiritual warfare. He simply announces the fact, you are in war, and the war is not against each other. The war is together against the evil one. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The fact that our real battle is not against flesh and blood is lost by many Christians. It's just so much easier to go after the ones we see that irritate us than to realize the reality that the one who is manipulating the circumstances, manipulating the media, manipulating the way that we think and feel, and to go after him and his fellow laborers in darkness and sin. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not people. They are not our true enemies. When I get in the real world, I realize that I can see people, but I can't see my true enemy, and we have to be aware of that. We can see that Satan gets a foothold in a church when there's disunity and people are against people. We can see that Satan gets a foothold when in our marriages they're brought to the brink of collapse or even divorce. We get angry at the people or withdraw or criticize or judge when we should be prayer support, encouraging, and being prayerful for them while we stand firmly against and pray against the powers of Satan and his demonic forces. Amen. Many times we pray less in opposition to him than we do in regards to people. Have you ever said, God, if you'll just get rid of this person who's bothering me, everything will be okay? Lord, if you can just hasten the day, my kids are out of the house, things are going to be okay. They're driving me nuts. While a prayer is going up to the Heavenly Father saying, if I can just get away from these folks, things will be all right. They frustrate me, irritate me. Lord, they are my problem. No, the problem is the power of evil that Satan has to manipulate and to break relationships. And we must in unity fight against that power. We must pray that the Lord brings down the strongholds of Satan that is against all humankind, be a believer or unbeliever. We head in San Francisco, and again, I was in my high school days in the mid-60s. You kind of know what San Francisco was like, some of you. Earlier crowd, probably not so much, but this crowd maybe a little more. It was a wild and crazy time. And one of the growing leading churches at that time was the Church of Satan. They had the Ten Commandments of Sin that was just the opposite of the Bible. They prided that they had nude priestesses and did all kinds of abominable things and that. The interesting thing was Satan did not like them well either. Their lives destroyed by the sin under the guidance. You see, Satan doesn't just hate Christians. He hates anyone that's humankind because of that image of God. He didn't treat them gently. They may have gotten money, but the drugs and the alcohol and the promiscuous living got to them because Satan didn't care that they worshipped him. He didn't like them. He just used them. And our hearts should go out in pain to them because many would reject and stand against them rather than to love them and point out the sin that was bringing them down. And the darkness. We have in the church, I believe, when it comes to people, a paranoia. We think that which is visible, people, are our only and greatest enemies. But the question we have to ask, who is controlling them? That's where the focus of our battle needs to be against. Secondly, final thought on that first point. I ought to fear God and love people. I'm called to love all humankind as my Heavenly Father does and be open to all humankind. It's interesting, the religiously righteous that thought they were great were farther out of line than the sinners of Christ's day. And who did he spend time with? The tax collectors, sinners. A lady that could have many wives and a live-in boyfriend now. Because he knew they realized the darkness that was in their life, where the Pharisees did not. Second point is we have to acknowledge that Satan is real and he stands against us. Our struggle is with an unseen enemy. Again, if I tripped and fell, you would blame me for it because you didn't see what was making me act so strange. But beloved, there is an unseen power that is a created being who has other created beings that work with it. He's not anything in comparison with God. He's not omnipresent. He has to bounce around this world rather quickly. He's got to rely on other sources. He is, when I stand in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his word and the Holy Spirit, has to back off. Not because of me, but because of the power that God has, who is his true foe. If we only realized what godly Christian living and being faithful to all that we have in Christ could give to us to liberate this world from the power of Satan, to begin to reclaim and become caretakers again. What a difference. Our struggle is with an unseen enemy who is the mastermind of darkness and deception around us. He's the one that puts it in the husband's white mind. You know, she hasn't treated me that well this week. I don't know if I even like her anymore. Or puts in the mind of the wife, I can't trust you anymore. Leading to contention and division. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. And he's proud to be a liar. And we go, you know, it sounds like he's telling the truth. You know, if God let me know goodness and evil, I probably would be as smart as God. He's always getting us to direct our attention against God. Have you ever heard the statement, how can a loving God let these things happen? Parents and kids supporting their loved ones at a marathon. and one overtaken by the power, two overtaken by the power of Satan. Devastating. And we say, God, how can you do that? God didn't do that. The system of evil that Satan heads is behind that destructive behavior that caused God. But it's so easy to listen to the lie of Satan and say, well, you know, he could have done something. We see in the scriptures there's a hierarchy of sin. That's where we get the angels, the principalities, and the powers, that there's different divisions. We see in Daniel's writings that he prayed for an answer, and it took 21 days to get it because Michael, the archangel, couldn't contest the power of the fallen angel of Persia. He did because he got the power from God, was given. But we see that angelic beings, fallen angelic beings, do have power over things, but they have not unlimited power, nor can they stand against the power of our God. We don't have to be afraid of them, but we have to respect that we do all things through the power and the knowledge and the truth of God, that we have victory. Some would say that there are different levels of angelic authority fallen, some over the state of Washington, some over the county of Cowlitz, some over the city of Longview, and that could well be. But all of those authorities and powers, when the church, who has been redeemed by Christ, takes it seriously and prays, hedges of thorns and protection around the city. Amen. When churches gather together and pray for victory, Satan cannot stand. He has to withdraw. So what does he do to divert our attention so that we're not praying for the victory and for the lost? He keeps us fighting each other. Be it husband and wife, parent and child, brother, sister. And when we get into that position, we can't then worry about Satan. And he knows it, and we fall prey if we're not careful to that. Ephesians 3:10 says, his God, God's intent was that now through the churches, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. What he's saying is angelic good and angelic evil have a division and a power structure, but we can defeat it all and go after Satan through the righteousness of Christ. The victory is ours. Let me say again, Paul is saying we war not against flesh and blood. Behind every person who harms and injures and deceives us is a spiritual enemy that is seeking only to bring disunity and not unity. The scripture says, love them, but hate who is using them. The scripture says that we are to love, and by our unconditional love, the world and Satan will see that God is our victory. Our enemy's nature, he is shrewd, he misdirects, he lies, he hurts. But we, by the power of prayer, can win the victory. He is a spiritual enemy, which means we can't see him, but he is real. Satan has authored no book, but God has fully exposed our enemy's tactics in the Bible. We need to study it and get to know how we can have victory over him as believers. A believer standing in his position in Christ, filled with the power of God's Spirit, and knowing God's truth can defeat Satan. Finally, God has called us so that the church should be known for its unity, love, understanding, and especially by its forgiveness. Christ would give us an illustration of this battle that's going on when he hung on the cross. But first let me ask, did anybody ever mock him? Did anybody ever betray him that was a friend? Did anyone beat and pull on his beard and spit on him? Mock him, if you're the Son of God, then call your angels, come on down. They did. All of humankind at that point was treating him very abusively. And as he hung on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that they're the pawns of Satan. Forgive them. If we are to have the victory over Christ, we must be Christ-like in our attitudes. Unconditionally loving, forgiving, seeking to find unity with all. Accepting the person, even though we might not accept the practice. Philippians 4, 2 through 3. Here is the joy book. Exciting book. It's a positive book. If you're a positive speaker, you have to go through Philippians sometime because it's such a good book. But at the end of it, Paul would say, I plead with Euodia. I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellows, help these women who have contended by my faith. Very likely deaconesses in the spiritual leadership of the church, strong ladies that had worked with Paul, he depended upon them. They contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book. Loyal yoke fellow, let the church be known by its love and unity, not by its division. Let our family relationships be known by love and forgiveness and unity. Let us, even in our walking in the world with the unbelievers, let our love be known in our prayer for them. For when the church is being Christ-like, we are shining forth a light in a very dark world of hope. Those who know not Christ know the darkness. And when they see the light, they can, as a moth, be drawn to that light. So it is we need to remember that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. God will condemn and meter out challenge. We are fighting against a crafty liar that would destroy a family, a church, the light, if we allow him to. Let's focus in more on how we are going to defeat him through the power of Christ. Let's, as a church, say we're going to put it on the offense. Don't like the shells lobbing in. We're going to take it to you. We are going to live Christ. We're going to share the gospel. And we're going to bring as much light into this place before the Lord comes. So back off. Ours is the victory through Christ. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but of spiritual evil by a crafty, fallen one who is already defeated. I love the fact that he was defeated on the cross. Do you know that Satan's probably best day ever was the day that he orchestrated within the lives of people to take the life of God's Son? It's mine! I am so low! I told him before he kicked me out of heaven I could be equal to him. I've killed his son. What do you think about that? And the Lord says, well, thank you, because in killing me, you've now brought redemption to the people that you hate. Joke's on you. You're so smart. You blew it this time. Because those that you hate, I have redeemed by my blood, the son of my blood. And now they are going to be a thorn in your side as they go forth and show forth light. As they show forth the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the unity of Christ, the dependence on Christ, as they stand according to my word in the power of the Holy Spirit, in prayer against you and your strongholds, and the victory will be ours. May we realize that we are in the battle. The battle is won. We're on the right side. And may we get our eyes off of other people and onto the Lord and claim the victory. And what a day it will be right here, even in a dark world. Let's pray. Father, let us realize the seriousness of the battle we are in. Let us also realize the victory is ours. Let us claim it. Let's put Satan on his heels. And may we see many coming to a knowledge of Christ because we have taken seriously your word, your truth, your direction. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.